This morning, saying grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We greet you in the name of the Lord, and I'm just asking, Lord, that as I speak this morning, as I preach His Word, that I do so without the slightest possibility of error or truth. If you have the Word of God with you today, please hold it up over your head, whether in digital or printed format. Amen. Amen. And I would like for you to please open your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 2. Book of Joshua, chapter 2, and we're going to pick it up in verse 8 through 11. It is the sixth book in the Bible. And you may be wondering why I very seldom get involved in what the praise team is doing, but I personally asked for the midnight cry to be sung today. And you may think, well, that's an awfully strange passage of Scripture to put together with the midnight cry. But we know that this Bible, this Bible right here is the Word of God, and it's a hymn book. It is all about Him. From the front of the Bible to the closing words of the Bible, it is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read your Bible and you do not find Jesus Christ in what you are reading your Bible incorrectly. Because the truth of the Word of God is that God wants a relationship with you. He wants you to be in His heaven. All of God's children want you to be in His heaven. Whether you're sitting here in this sanctuary, or you're watching on the internet, or you're listening or watching a DVD or a CD or whatever later on, the message of the truth of God's Word is that Jesus Christ is Lord. He came to this heaven, from heaven to earth, to die for our sins, and God wants us to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. If you would please, as we look at the Word of God, Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, if you were there, please say, Amen. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. Now this is the story of Rahab that we are continuing from last week. And said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. May the Lord add His blessing upon His word. You know, last week we opened, we continue our study in Living the Significant Life by introducing ourselves to Rahab the harlot. Rahab, the shady lady that lived in Jericho. And we had looked at verses 1 through 7, and we determined, we learned that it was the providence which confronted her whereby she was saved. That was our first point from last week. I'm hoping we have that slide up on the screen. There we go. It was the providence which comforted her. I'll get it out immediately, folks, sooner or later. But it was by the providence of God that Joshua had sent two spies. They came to her house, and her and her whole family, turns out, they will be saved from the wrath of God. Remember, everything in Scripture is all about getting us to be saved from the wrath of God. Amen? We look around this sanctuary, and there's not a single one of us in here that doesn't need to be saved. The only difference between some of us and others is that we have received the truth of the Word of God about Jesus Christ the Lord. As we continue in this study, we're going to get through one more point this week. One more point. And so what I want you to look at this week, jot this down in your notes there, we want you to see the evidence that convicted her. The evidence that convicted Rahab. Have you ever wondered, have you ever looked at this story and thought, how can a harlot, how can this shady lady ever be so convicted towards salvation? And make no bones about it, it is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, even though we are looking here in the book of Joshua. We know that in the New Testament, that we are saved because of what we believe that Christ has done. In the Old Testament, they were saved by faith through grace of what God was going to do through His Son, the promised Messiah, and the Lord Jesus Christ. But what caused this lady, this harlot, to have such conviction? What caused her to know that God had given to the Israelis this promised land? What caused her to know that Jericho was a lost cause, that it was soon to be destroyed? It is her confession of faith at the end of verse 11. If you would please look back at it again. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is the God of heaven and earth? Do you believe that the Lord is your Lord and that He is mighty to save? And that all the things that we see going on in the world these days are as nothing compared to what our great God can do. Amen?
Amen.
Do you stand ready to stand for the Lord? Can you be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the story in Daniel, where they told King Nebuchadnezzar, "Oh, mighty King, our Lord may save us, and He may not. But whether you throw us into the fiery furnace or not, we will not bow our knee to any pagan gods." And see, that's where the people of God stand. So how did she know this about... This wasn't her God. This was the God of Israel. This was the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. How did she know that about God? Well, I don't think she'd gone to Vacation Bible School yet. I don't think there are any churches around there. Friends, it was by observing God's miracles in the hearts and the lives of His people. That's how she knew it. Now, are you listening to me? Do I have your attention? Let me ask this question. What specifically was the evidence that was convicting her in such a way? It is so simple. It was the miracles that God was doing for His people. Look in verse 10 one more time. If you're there, please say amen. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And that what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. What she said is this: we've been getting reports on you folks. You people that call yourself the people of God, we've received reports about you. We know what God is doing in your life. We know what God is doing through your lives. Friends, there is something miraculous about God's people when they live in unshakable faith that God will do what God has promised to do. See, that's what my granddaughter, that is her favorite verse in Scripture over in Numbers chapter 23, is that God does not change and God will keep His promises. He is not like man who breaks His word continuously. God will keep His promises. And when Rahab saw the results of the faithful lives of the people of God, she came under conviction of her life. Listen closely to me, Living Hope Baptist Church. Listen closely to me, visitors. Listen closely on the internet. The greatest sermon that Living Hope Church will ever have, the greatest sermon that you will ever know about Living Hope Church, will not come from this pulpit on a Sunday morning. The greatest sermon this church will ever see will come from your lives from Monday through Saturday. Amen. It'll come from the lives that you live in Coral Springs, Florida. What I'm saying is that when this city, Coral Springs, sees faith in action in the hearts and lives of God's people at Living Hope Baptist Church, when the people of God live lives of grace, when the people of God live lives of mercy, when the people of God live lives of faith and joy in their Savior, then, and only then, will Coral Springs look and say, surely there is a God in heaven. Surely there is a God in this heaven. And that is what convicted Rahab the harlot. It's not a sermon that Joshua's spies gave her when she came. When they came. You see, God was working miracles in their lives. And the people of Jericho and Rahab heard all about it. What did they hear? They heard how God opened the Red Sea for them. That would get my attention. How about you? Lord, Pastor Larry, I heard that some people prayed out on Pompano Beach, and even though the bridges were all closed and the flood came, the Lord parted the intercoastal and they walked across. 2.5 million of them. And then after that was over and they got across, the Lord closed it back up. See, that would get my attention. How about yours? Hallelujah. The people had heard how God provided manna for them in the desert. Every single day for 40 years, the Lord provided food for them. The people of Jericho heard how God had provided water for them in the desert. Heard how God was defeating Israelites' enemies for them. And yes, they heard about how this very same God that had done all those things in the desert, this very same God that had done all those things bringing them out of Egypt, this very same God that had parted the sea, that had brought them across, that had brought them through the desert with food and water, that very same God that had allowed them to beat all their enemies before they got there, that very same God had brought them to the walls of Jericho. That's the God that they're looking at. Friends, we're not only supposed to be witnesses for God and His provisions, we're supposed to be part of the evidence that God is at work. Do you have that faith? Do you have faith that God can do great and mighty things through Living Hope Baptist Church? Better than that, do you have faith that the God of the heavens can do great and mighty things through you? Through your life? Do you realize that when you pray that your God in heaven turns and you have His complete attention? That He listens to you. That He wants to fulfill your life. He wants you to be in lockstep with His plan. You see, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, look to the evidence in your life that God is doing something that defies explanation. Can you look at your life and say, you know what? Only God could do that. My mother sent us a check when the rent came due. My brother came by to cut the grass out of nowhere. I haven't seen him in months when I had a bad leg. My boss called me in when I thought he didn't think anything about me and gave me a big raise. See, is there evidence in your life that God is doing great things? Do you have peace in your heart? Is the evidence of God doing great things in your life? Peace in your heart that you know God has a plan for your life. Do you have that evidence? You see, what is it that is about your life that cannot be explained by human logic? When you share the story, people go, oh, there's no way that happened. There's no way that happened. A story about myself and Miss Ruth Ann. When we decided we were going to serve the Lord with all of our hearts, souls, and minds, it was in this church many, 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 many years ago. You know, I'm fairly young, so it was like 3 years ago. It was many years ago. We decided we were going to follow the Lord in this church. Now, I didn't have a great job at the time. We were not living in a very nice place at all. The car we had was dependable, but we had just one car, and we desperately needed more than that. Do you realize we decided no matter what, we were going to tithe? That we were going to the first part. Now, you guys have never heard this story. You never heard Pastor Larry talk about tithing that much. We decided we were going to give the first part of what God had given us. No matter what. And we would trust God to make up the difference. Do you know that at the end of 1 year, because we put God first, we were living in a new apartment. Much nicer. We had a much more dependable car. All of our bills were paid. We weren't behind on anything. Are you ready for this? Are you ready? Ready for a blessing? Without one penny of increased income. Not one cent. We simply focus on putting God first. Then, at the end of that year, when we were praising God with what He had done with the simple little bit that He had given us, I was called in to the office where I worked. Ready for this? My salary was almost doubled. Without me asking. See, I serve a great God. I serve a mighty God. Nobody can explain that. You see, God is amazing. Serve God. Now, I'm not saying that if you pray and give your tithes, God's going to double your salary. Don't put words in Pastor Larry's... Don't put words in my mouth. Don't hold God down to just double. Amen? Amen. Don't hold Him down at the bottom. Go for the limit. Go for the top. You see, What is there about the life of Living Hope Baptist Church that cannot be explained apart from programs and plannings and propaganda and personnel and paraphernalia? You see, church is not all about the lighting and the seating and whether it's cool or warm or we have the best equipment in the world. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. What is there about the lives that we are living as a church that cause people to say, I see you, Living Hope Baptist Church. I see your life, and it is obvious that God is with you. The Lord your God is at work in your lives. He's preparing the 300. He's preparing you to do great and mighty things. You've been, you know, Pastor Larry, when you took over, you know, we were about 40 people. We've grown a little bit. We have a Hispanic ministry now. And God has just been training us up, and we're expecting God just to blow this place apart any day. Amen. We expect that of our God. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise and glory in His house. Friends, when people see that we live lives of incredible, indescribable, extreme joy, they're going to want the God that we have. Oh, I want some of that. You know, you got some people, they go to church, they look like they've been soaked in pickle juice. They don't have any fun. Now, I love singing hymns, but you can't sing hymns like it's a dead song or a dead language somewhere. You got to sing it with worship in your heart. Amen? See, I want to show you guys something very interesting. Please turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 12. Acts chapter 2, verse 12, if you would, please. Oh, I love hearing those pages turn. Acts chapter 2, verse 12. I'm going to read a passage to you. This is on that amazing day of Pentecost in the New Testament. If you have a paper Bible and if you're there, please say amen. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 12, reading from the Word of God. And this is after the Holy Spirit had come, and this is other people talking. It says, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Just stay there in the book of Acts for a moment. You see, I hear people all the time crying out for revival. We have people praying, oh God, send us another Pentecost. You know what? We don't need another one. We've already had one. The day of Pentecost came to the apostles. The Holy Spirit came in power, and He hasn't gone anywhere yet. He's still here on this world. We just need to enjoy the Pentecost that we have. We don't need another cross of Calvary. We have Calvary. Christ died once for our sins. One time. What we need to do is to take possession of the power of Pentecost. We need to be grateful for the Calvary that we have. Because God was with His people in that first century church, and miraculous things began to take place in the hearts and lives of God's people. Look, verse 12, it says, they were all amazed. Now listen closely. Who was amazed? Who was amazed in that verse? Well, it was not the redeemed of God. It was not the saved people. No, it was all of the unsaved people who were amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, look at verse 12, what can this possibly mean? Whatever could this mean? What an amazing... See, here's what had happened. 120 disciples had been praying together, asking God to bless their lives and to bless other people's lives. They were loving the Lord Jesus Christ even though He was gone. They were obedient to His commands to go into Galilee and to wait for instructions. And He came. What God promised came to pass. Look at verses 1 through 4 in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came the sound from heaven of a rushing, mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. God, the Holy Spirit, descends right there upon them in miraculous power. Do you come to church expecting God to come with miraculous power? Do you expect God to move that way at Living Hope Baptist Church? Listen, friends, this was the place where they were sitting was filled with the sound and power of a mighty rushing wind. Cliff just sang about that. Is that what you're looking for when you come to church? Is that what you're looking for when you enter your prayer life? Is that what you're looking for when you open up the Word of God and read it? And you call upon the name of the Lord. Do you expect that mighty rushing wind of power to come into your heart? And here in Acts chapter 2, there sat upon every one of them flames of the Holy Spirit. They stood and began to preach the word of God and to glorify Him. This word for other tongues does not mean confused tongues. It means other languages. So that would be like me coming up here, and then out of the blue I start preaching in the native language of our Haitian brothers and sisters, and they understood me. Be interesting if I could understand it. Do you think that's by accident, by the way? Do you think it's by accident that the Lord gave us people in here that can that speak in the native language of Haiti? That can speak in the native language of our Hispanic ministry down the hall right now? That has a pastor that can speak German? Do you think those are all accidents? That the Lord would do that? Listen, they spoke in foreign languages, an amazing supernatural service. And those people in verse 12 and said, what does this mean? See, here was something they could not explain. And they're impacted. Is it any wonder that they're asking another question over in verse 37? Look at verse 37 in Acts chapter 2. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, what shall we do to be saved? Now listen, friends. They asked two questions. Question number one, verse 12, what does this mean? Question number two, verse 37, what must we do? You know the problems these days with churches when you go visit a church? Churches try to get people to ask the second question before they've ever asked and been answered to the first question. You see, we come into church, and folks, and we're all about getting folks saved, and that's a wonderful thing. We're trying to get men and women to say, what must I do to be saved? Before they've ever seen anything in our lives that shows them they should be saved. Are you getting what I'm saying here? I thought I'd get a testimony right there. I thought I'm glad I brought my own. We're asking people to be saved before they've seen anything in their lives that would cause them to desire to be saved. That is the whole crux of the matter. Lord, Pastor Larry, I've been sharing the gospel. No one's been saved. Well, it's not our job to save them. Sometimes we just plant a seed. But is your life in line with what you're talking about? Is your life in line with what you're preaching? Do people look at your life? Do they look at the life of Living Hope Baptist Church and say, that's a church that honors God? That's a person that honors God. Church, when they see the unexplainable quality of life in people that we have in this church, Ivan and Jamie Toro, Davison and Marcia, GB and Jason. Sorry, Jason, you're not as good looking as they are. People will be amazed and they will ask this, are you ready? What must I do to be saved? There's just something about them that I just don't understand. What does it mean? When they see that our lives, when they see our lives in alignment with the Lord, when they see the Lord doing great and mighty things in our lives, this altar won't be big enough. This building won't be big enough. This parking lot outside this place will not be big enough for all the people on there in their lives receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's our one and only mission, friends. But friends, if we walk like the world, if we look like the world, if we dress like the world, if we act like the world, here's what they're thinking. If you want me to believe in your Redeemer, you need to start looking a little more redeemed. And that's the problem with the redeemed of God in the 20th century church. Back to Joshua chapter 2. Back to Joshua chapter 2. If you're moving there, say amen. And don't be putting your Bibles away. You know I'm going to get you again. What was the evidence that convicted her? What was it that struck terror in her heart? Church, she saw the lies of the people of God, the power of God that had completely and inexplicably which had brought the conviction of God into her heart. And this harlot gets saved. The providence that confronted her was that God had some people that He could use. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 16. If you're there, please say amen. So this is the people, when Joshua was going to send out the spies, they said, so they answered Joshua saying, all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you will send us, we will go. Friends, listen. All you need to do to be used of God is be available to be used of God. God will use you. The evidence that convicted Rahab was that God's people had been transformed. They had a Red Sea experience. They had a blood of the Lamb experience. The Passover Lamb. They'd seen the power of God upon them and upon their life. They had heard the midnight cry in their heart. They'd heard the sound of the mighty rushing wind of the Holy Spirit. And when, friends, when people see that, they want to be saved. Amen? Now listen, we have a blessed, sweet church. We really do. Miss Ruth Ann and I never dreamed this big. We never dreamed we would have the opportunity to serve as the pastor here at Living Hope Baptist Church. You folks are so welcoming of anyone that walks through the doors. It blesses my heart. It really does bless my heart. I've never seen anything like it in my entire church life. You know, there's nothing wrong with being a big church. There's nothing wrong with being a small church. But we need to make sure that we are touching people's lives. Amen? Amen. And we touch our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that we all want to see this church grow. Amen? We want to see this church prosper. We want to see a great number of people saved. But I don't believe for a second that any special program will get that to come to pass. There's no special program that you go, well, maybe if we try this program or that program. God doesn't have that in His Word. God doesn't have that in His Word. God has it in His Word, though. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. And that's what we preach here. You want to get to heaven, you got to go through Jesus. You must go through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, friends, programs won't get us to there. It's only the gospel of Jesus Christ. So why don't we start praying for people to be saved? Why don't we do this? Why don't you pray this week, tonight, or today at the invitation, for the meanest person in your life to receive Jesus Christ as Lord? Stop praying that the Lord will remove them from your life and start praying that the Lord would come into their life. Amen. And that one day they'll be standing next to you singing praises to a holy God. Why don't we just step out of the comfort zone and invite lost people to church? What a concept! I don't want you stealing folks from other churches. Don't be inviting people from other churches. If they have a church they're happy with, leave them alone. Invite lost people to church, that they would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know we started a little late this morning, and I just want you to know that I'm not finishing any earlier. So, you're going to get the whole Word of God, amen?
Amen.
All right, that's what I like to hear. See, the pastor likes to say that once in a while just to make sure, remind you guys what we're talking about. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Cold Spring, Florida is not waiting for a new definition of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Cold Spring, Florida is waiting for a new demonstration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our world is waiting for an army of God, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, Christians that will walk through those doors when they leave here and not just pass by that sign, but really believe that they are now entering their mission field. Really believe that. Coral Springs is looking for a generation of people who will rise up and live empowered, energized, transformed lives. That's what Coral Springs, Florida is looking for today. Amen? Sorry about that. You know, it's just such an amazing thing, friends, that when we do those things, we are reminded that this is what Jesus Christ is asking of you. He's asking that you leave here today and that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your power, and all your might. Jesus wants you to love your neighbor as yourselves. Pray for the mean person at work that treats you horribly and spitefully. When it seems that your prayers are going unanswered, what do you do then? Who do you turn to? Well, you turn the other cheek and you show kindness. Then, just so they see the power of God, let the love of the Lord Jesus Christ flow out of your life. You see, last week we saw the providence of God that confronted Rahab the harlot. Today we saw the evidence in the lives of God's people, the evidence which convicted them. The evidence which convicted Rahab the harlot that there truly is a God in heaven. And all God's people said.
Amen.
You know, it's been so incredibly blessed to be here today. In just a moment, I'm going to begin the invitation and all of that. But we are going to be taking the Lord's Supper today. And as we do the invitation, I'm going to walk you through some processes here. Get your heart right with God. You never want to take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Amen? And all God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Grace and peace from God the Father. And His Son.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.